What's up, everybody? It's Caden Broadhurst here with the Poolsville Young Life podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to our third episode of 2020. It's Wednesday, January 29th, I believe, and we've got a special club talk tonight. It's kind of shorter, but it's pretty powerful, as most of them are. I'm going to be talking about death and how we want to live our life before that, because we only get one life, and it's pretty important the way that we use it, especially the way Jesus wants us to use it. So I'm going to get right into this. But first, I know you guys probably know what happened on Sunday. Kobe passed away in an accident. Kobe Bryant, really famous, popular, really talented basketball player. I believe he was 44, 43 years old, and his daughter, who was 12, was with him, Gigi. And it's horribly sad what happened. They had a couple of friends. They were in their private helicopter ride, and I guess it was foggy, and they couldn't see what was going on, and they crashed the helicopter into a mountain. They all died instantly. And this kind of made us think a little bit, a lot of people, because it was all over social media. It was all over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything. Everything was about Kobe Bryant, which it should, I mean, it should be. He died, and it was a horrible accident. He was really famous and really popular. And it made a lot of people think about life. And I even had a couple of my friends be like, man, this accident, I hate it when a celebrity dies, because it just makes you think, because you just see it everywhere, and you're reminded that life is so short, and in any instant, it could be taken away. And none of us know when we're going to die, right? We all know that we're going to die at some point in time, but none of us know when it'll be. I certainly don't know when I'm going to die. I mean, I'm hoping I get another, 50, 60 years out of my life before that happens. Hopefully see grandkids or great grandkids and see my legacy and everything like that forming before my eyes, which would be awesome. But none of us know. We could die tomorrow and we would never know. The only person that's going to know is God. And I'm going to get into a story right now about a guy who is planning for after he dies. He wants to know what's going to happen after he dies. He's lived a very good short life, and he wants to know what's going to happen afterwards. You guys might know the story I'm talking about. It's in Matthew, and it's called the story about the rich young man. Right? Some versions say the rich young ruler. My version of ESV says rich young man. I kind of like rich young ruler because it puts an even more emphasis behind his life and who he is as a person. So I'm going to read this to you. It's in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And it says, "And behold, a man came up to him, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, the ruler to Jesus, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these I have kept. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." This is a very short little passage, only about six verses, but it's really powerful if you think about what this guy's actually asking, right? We don't know who this person is. We don't know his name. We don't really know where he comes from. At least I don't. And most people reading this wouldn't know. But the passage says, the title of this little spot, this subtitle, says the rich young man. And it says to him, behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I have to do?" So it doesn't say, it doesn't introduce him. It doesn't say, "Hey, I'm this guy. I own this piece of land and I have a ton of money." He's rich, he's young, and he's a guy. And the some version says ruler. So maybe he has a bunch of servants. Or maybe he even has a country. Maybe he has a little territory that he rules over. We don't know that, but we know that he's rich. And we only know that he's rich because Jesus says, "Sell all that you have." And then it says, when the young man went away, sorrowful, because he had a lot of stuff. It says that. So we know that he's rich. We know he has a lot of stuff and he doesn't want to get rid of it. And that's all we really need to know. Jesus says, "Hey, have you followed all the commandments?" He says, "Yes, I followed all the one to the T since I was born." He says, "Okay, well then sell all that you have to the poor. Come follow me." And the guy says, "I have too much stuff. I can't do that." And he doesn't actually say that, but he says it through his actions. He just turns sorrowful and walks away because he has a lot of stuff. That's the gist of it, right? He values something and Jesus asks him to give it away to have what he's wanting. And we know that he's not happy the way he is. He's sorrowful, right? It says that he's sad. Even though he has a ton of stuff, he's sad because he doesn't want to get rid of all that stuff. But we can perceive even deeper that this guy, even with all his stuff, all his possessions, all his money, maybe, you know, if he's in today's time, his million-dollar house, all his cars, maybe all his real estate, whatever, he's not happy because he's coming to Jesus and asking him, what's next? He's saying, how do I get to the next step in this journey, afterlife? And it even says he's young. So it's not like he's old, he's an old dude. He's like, oh, like, help me, like, I'm about to die. Like, what do I do to get into heaven? He's young. And he already knows that there's more to life than just being rich. And yet he's still not able to get rid of his money. He's not able to give all of his stuff to the poor and follow Jesus, even when it means you get that extra step. You get that extra part in your heart that fills that hole. Because only Jesus can provide that. And it says later, the disciples asked Jesus and said, hey, how can anybody be saved if they have to give up everything that they have? Like, no one wants to give up everything they have. And disciples see that. And Jesus says, yeah, normal humans can't do that. Only God can help them do that. So first, we have to ask God to help us with these things. We have to ask Jesus for his help to be able to help us get rid of all of our stuff and be okay with it. And then we have to follow him. Because Jesus came down not to start a whole revolution or anything. He came down to have a relationship with us, to be a bond between God and humans. He became the mediator when he became human. He became the person that all of our sins can be put on him. He goes and dies on the cross, and he's that person that steps in between God and us when it's our time for punishment, because he already did that. So what do you guys value? Think about that. Think about your life. Think about all that you have, everything that you have, maybe your house, maybe your cars, if you're younger, if you're kids, like what I'm talking to right now, maybe the car that your parents gave you, right? Maybe that watch that you bought, maybe your hoverboard, maybe your AirPods, maybe your phone, shoes, clothing, whatever you have. Think about those things. Now think about all those things and think about if that creates a good life. Does that make a good life? Does that make you happy? And obviously, you know, the cliche, I'm not going to have you guys answer this. No, right? No amount of money can make you perfectly happy. Money doesn't buy happiness. It's an age-old saying, right? Money doesn't buy happiness. That's true. Because we know from Bible stories, from other stories, from movies, from TV shows, money can't buy happiness. People that have a ton of money end up still not being happy. Why is that? Because everyone knows that, you know, and yes, some rich people are very happy with what they have. But a lot of people aren't. A lot of people aren't. And they say, what is that thing that I need that's going to truly make me happy? And Jesus answers it. He says, your money's definitely not it. Give that away to the poor. Do something to change the world. Be the change in the world that you want to see. And then come and follow me. That's what's going to fill your heart. That's going to be the everlasting cup. That's going to be the everlasting bread. Quoting other passages. That's what's important here, right? He's saying your money's not important. The values that you have isn't important. What's important is that you have Jesus, right? So what's something that you guys have done, or maybe something you haven't done because you wanted to accomplish something, or because you wanted to get something that you didn't have? Or maybe you wanted somebody to make you feel worthy, or to make you feel content. Because that's what this guy's doing. In the basis foundation, he's going to Jesus, a guy that knows more than him, and he knows that. And he says, hey, there's something I don't have. I want it. How do I get this thing? How do I get this elevated step? And it's even more powerful than that. He's asking, how do I get to heaven? How do I not, like, after this life is over? He knows that after this life is over, he only has one life, and he's either going to heaven or hell. He wants to be able to get into heaven. He asks, how do I get there? Right. So what's something you guys, I'll tell you a story about me. There was this girl that I really liked. All right. And I knew that she really liked her dogs, and she was away at college, and it had been a couple months since she'd seen her dogs, and she really loved her dogs more than she probably liked me at the time. And I was like, okay, I'm going to drive to her college, which is 2.5 hours away, 2.5 to 3 hours, with her dogs in my backseat, just to see her dogs so that she can see her dogs, and then I'll drive home. Not to mention that day was raining really hard. I literally drove through a rainstorm, and I get there. After driving 2.5 hours with her two dogs barking in the back, you know, being all crazy. And I get there and she sees him. She's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Like, oh, my dogs are here. She talks to me for like, 10, 15-ish minutes. And then I turn around and I go back home with her dogs. Now that's something kind of crazy, to be honest with you. I'm going to go for this random girl that doesn't like me, that I kind of have like this crush on. with her two dogs and drive through a rainstorm to see her. That's pretty nuts. Like, are there any things that you can think about? You don't have to answer, but things that you can think about that you've done that are absolutely crazy or just slightly crazy to gain worth, to make somebody feel happy or to make yourself feel happy because they're happy. Just to accomplish something. Because that's what this guy's doing here. Because we only have one life. We want to make it worth it. We want to make it worth it for other people. We want to make it worth it for ourselves. That's the most important thing to us. And now I'm rambling because I'm getting really into it. I'm getting passionate about it. But I'm not really talking to anything anymore. Let me close this out for us. This guy's seeking something. He's seeking contentness. How can he be content in his single life that he's going to be able to get to heaven? And Jesus says, give all that you have away. Lose your value system. And only Jesus knows what your value system is, and you do. No one else does. No one else can tell you what you truly value except for Jesus. But Jesus knows. Right? This guy didn't say that he was rich. This guy didn't say he had a ton of stuff. But Jesus told him and said, hey, get rid of all your stuff. Come follow me. And the dude was like, nope, I can't do that. I like my stuff too much. So I want to challenge you guys to figure out what that stuff is, what those possessions are in your life, what that value system is. What are you idolizing so much so that you're being blinded to the things that truly matter in life? And figure out what that is and maybe try and wean yourself off of it. Or ask for a friend, an accountability partner to help you not put as much value on those things. Now, if they're good things, if you enjoy helping people and you put a lot of value into making money for charities, like that's a great thing. That is good. But if see what things that you value that are just for yourself. Because in the end, those things will make you happy for a short time, but they're not going to create long-lasting happiness and long-lasting content in your heart. That's what I want to challenge you. I'm going to pray and we'll head over to McDonald's, my Young Life people anyway. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day you've given us. It's been kind of murky out today, but we got a lot done, I'm sure. Be with us, be with our hearts, that we would be able to find what we truly value and be able to wean off of it and to get rid of it and to put the value where it truly matters, either in you or in helping people, making changes in the world. Only you know what we value and only you know what we can truly do to make changes in our lives. Give us courage to do that. Give us bravery to examine ourselves and figure out what's wrong with us, because we know that that's difficult. It's very difficult for us to look at ourselves with introspection and true thoughtfulness and figure out what's wrong with us, because we want to think that we're all perfect and good, but we know we're not. So help us to find those things, to identify them, and to expel them, to get rid of them, because we really don't want them. We don't. We want to make change. Everyone wants to change the world and make the world a better place. Help us do that. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for listening. That was our third podcast on the Young Life podcast for Club Talks. We're so glad that you liked it. Please subscribe so you can hear us every single Wednesday. Next time we'll be giving a club talk will be January the 5th. I believe that's the Wednesday next week. Should be just as good as this one, if not better. Thanks. Bye.